We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Every year we go up to Tallahassee to lobby legislators to protect and defend every innocent human life. And we are going to be going up this in just a few weeks, actually on the 22nd and 23rd. And we want to encourage you to pray for us and to pray for the legislators, that God would open their hearts. You see, we go to Republicans. We go to meet with Democrats. We go to meet with independents. We will meet with any legislator that will meet with us. And we are encouraging them to protect and defend every innocent human life. If you do want to support this work by prayer, we encourage you to join us in prayer. If you want to join us in actually going with us, go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, and send us a note to let us know that you want to join us. If you want to donate to help us with this effort, you can also go to covenanttabernacle.com and contact us, and we'll let you know how you can donate. But we want to just go over today the biblical legislative guidelines for pro-life, applying the Bible to legislation. So we have a organization that we work with in addition to the church, and this really is an outgrowth of the church, but it's called Personhood Florida. It is an organization that's working to protect every innocent human life. And what do we mean by every innocent human life? We're talking about every human being from the very beginning, that is in the womb, and in most cases, although scientists are now creating humans outside of the womb, all the way until natural death. And we are working to protect human life, also not only in the womb, but also those that are created in laboratories where doctors are mixing human and animal genes, actually, and have even created glow-in-the-dark embryos that they destroy a few days later. We're working to protect the disabled. You know that 90% of all children that are diagnosed in the womb with Down syndrome are killed by abortion. That should never be. We should never discriminate against human beings because they have a disability. And by the way, 10% of those tests return a false positive, which means that some of those children that have been killed because they were thought to have had Down syndrome didn't even have Down syndrome. We're also working to protect senior citizens. And we should never hasten, and doctors should never hasten, death by starvation, dehydration, and or over medication. So we do have a constitutional amendment that we're working on and proposing, and we need to encourage you to sign if you haven't done so yet. You can go to personhoodflorida.com, personhoodfl.com. You can click on the link to download the petition. It says Get Petition. Click on that link, download the petition, print it out, sign it, mail it in, and let your voice be heard. This would add preborn human beings to the Declaration of Rights of the Florida Constitution. The Florida Constitution already gives the right to life to every innocent human being. So we also, in addition, we also have a proposed personhood act, which states basically the God-given right to life of every human being at any stage of development shall be recognized and protected. We are looking for legislators who have the courage to sponsor this act in the House and in the Senate. When we are looking at applying biblical principles to pro-life legislation, we're looking at some basic fundamental principles from the Bible, and we're going to look at these from the Bible and show that God requires protection of innocent human life. And the first principle is, why do we protect human life? Do we protect human life based on what someone can do, based on what they can accomplish, based on how they look or how much money they have or what they can bring to the table, what they can contribute to society? No, the basis of protecting human life comes from the fact that we are created in God's image. In Genesis chapter 1, beginning of verse 26, we read, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. And so from this, we realize that human life should be protected irrespective of what that human being can contribute to society, irrespective of the talents and the gifts and the beauty or lack thereof, or the wealth or the lack thereof, or the productivity or the lack thereof. If we value human life based on bodily function, then we protect Tom Brady or Baker Mayfield or the various other quarterbacks in the league. Tua Tagovailoa. We protect Patrick Mahomes, but we starve and dehydrate Terry Schiavo to death. We did that in the state of Florida. It should never happen. We should never allow it to happen again. So we need to protect every innocent human life. Legislation also must not devise evil by law. And pro-life legislation, many pro-life legislation that is out there does do this. And what we're talking about here, we're getting this principle from Psalm 94, verses 20 through 21. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. So, shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? So this throne of iniquity is shown to be devising evil by law. Now, many of the pro-life, quote-unquote pro-life bills that have been passed have things in them that specifically allow abortion. And certainly, these bills have been designed to limit abortion or reduce abortion, but many of them have done so. So in that case, they are good, but the fact that they actually specifically legalize or allow abortion in certain circumstances makes those laws evil laws. And pro-life laws should never actually have terminology that says something like no abortion shall be performed unless, and many of these laws do specifically specify circumstances under which abortion shall be performed or can be performed. And so one of those that we see is an ultrasound. So no abortion shall be performed unless an ultrasound is first performed. No abortion shall be performed unless there's parental consent. No abortion shall be performed unless there's a 24-hour waiting period. No abortion shall be performed unless the preborn child is first anesthetized. Or you could go on and on and on. Sometimes they say no abortion shall be performed after the, unless the baby is prior to a certain period of gestation. So one thing we want to just ask and consider is, what would happen if we applied these same arguments to a different topic? And really, abortion and the protection of innocent human life is the civil rights and the human rights issue of today. But if we were to go back 170 years ago, we would see very different issues, one which is slavery. And if we were to roll back the calendar 70 years ago, we would see that lynching was a huge issue of that day. So what if we applied these same types of exceptions or these same types of terminology to slavery? No one shall own a slave unless, or no one shall lynch anyone unless they first see a picture of the person they intend to lynch, or they have their parents' consent to lynch someone, or they've waited 24 hours after they wanted to lynch someone before they actually lynch someone, or the person that is being lynched is first anesthetized. You can see how ridiculous these arguments are. Yet these arguments are made by quote-unquote pro-life legislators all the time. And really what we need to do is we need to apply biblical principles to legislation as opposed to just trying to get what we believe will pass and put that forward. What we need to do is put forth God's standard and proclaim God's standard until we can pass that legislation and until people in the state of Florida will work to protect every innocent human life. You see, the church is called to proclaim God's truth. We're not called to stick our finger up in the air and see which way the wind is blowing. We're not called to protect innocent human life if we think we'll be successful or if we think we have a majority of people that are for us. We're called to proclaim God's word and God's truth and to push forth this truth and to call the nation and our state and our counties and our cities to fall in line and to conform to the word of God. Another principle is that legislation must not punish children for the sins of their fathers. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, we read, "Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin." And this principle is a principle that we need to apply to abortion as well. We used to, in this nation, put rapists to death. That's right, rapists used to be executed. Or in all 50 states, if we were to roll back the calendar 70 years or so, in all 50 states, the penalty for rape was either death or life in prison. Today, what happens today is rapists go to jail, they spend some time in prison, and then they're released, put onto a sexual predator list, and very often they reoffend. And what really needs to happen is that we need to punish the rapist, and biblically, the biblical penalty for rape is execution. Upon conviction, the biblical penalty for rape is execution. But what we do today is we execute the preborn child in the womb. And by the way, in some cases, this allows the rapist to continue to rape because the abortion covers up the pregnancy, which is actually, the pregnancy is actually a testament of the of what happened in the case of rape. That is sin that happened. What we're dealing with, though, when we're talking about rape exceptions, we are talking about human beings. These are little boys, little girls that don't deserve to die. And if given the right to be born, these are human beings that will grow up to be women and men that will be productive members of society. And we actually have some exceptions that we can meet today. And two of those, the person at Florida State Board member Pam Stenzel, who actually was conceived in rape and was born because the laws at that time did not allow abortion in the case of rape. And so she was actually born. She was actually conceived by a girl in a foster home. If abortion had been legal in the case of rape, she would have been killed. But thankfully, she was not killed because the pro-life laws protected her. There's also Rebecca Kiesling and many other men and women who have actually were conceived in rape, and their lives were valuable. And one thing that happens is there are people that are that have never really thought through this. Sometimes politicians, one of the phrases that a lot of politicians have used in the past is I'm pro-life, except in the case of rape, incest, and life of the mother. Well, Rick Perry was running for president in the 2012 election, running for president. He was actually confronted by Rebecca Kiesling, who said, is my life not valuable? I was conceived in rape. Rick Perry right there, changed his position and became pro-life without exceptions. Also, Abby Johnson. You may have seen the movie made about Abby Johnson, Unplanned. She ran a Planned Parenthood. And one of the things that she says is that they actually had to save the babies that were aborted, where these babies were conceived in rape. They actually had to save those because those babies were evidence of the rape. And one of the things that when she became pro-life and she realized that the killing of innocent human beings was wrong, and she left that Planned Parenthood and walked out of there, when she became pro-life, she was encouraged by pro-life organizations to support bills that actually had rape and incest exceptions. And many times, pro-life organizations wrongly allow preborn children they throw them under the bus if they've been conceived in rape or incest. And she was encouraged to support these bills. And what actually happened was Rebecca Kiesling actually did challenge her. And she is now pro-life without exceptions. Legislation must also protect both the mother and her preborn baby. In Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 through 23, we read, if men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life. And so this shows that really the mother needs to be protected. Her life is valuable, but the preborn child's life is also valuable as well. In Ireland, there was a Dublin Declaration where over 1,000 medical providers signed this declaration, which affirms that abortion is not medically necessary to save the life of a woman. Sometimes Certainly, it is necessary to do emergency surgery to save the life of the mother. And in those cases, the doctor should have the ability to work to save the life of the mother. But they should also work to save, and real doctors do this, work to save the life of the preborn child as much as is possible. Now, we have, in our family, we have personal experience with this. And our first, when my wife was pregnant with our first child, she was very sick. And we wanted to, she had a midwife and she was going to have a birthing center birth. And then she got very sick and had to go over to doctors and had to have a hospital birth. But the doctor said, we know what the condition you have. And we know the solution. The solution is to deliver the baby and you'll be better. But we also know that the baby has a better chance of surviving as long as that baby is inside of you. So we're going to keep the baby inside of you as long as your body can hold out. And we had weekly visits at the doctor, and we went to the doctor, and the doctors checked her out. And then one day we went to the doctor, and the doctor was about to release my wife. And he did the little hammer on her knee, and her knee didn't move. And he realized there's a problem here. And he admitted her to the hospital. And they did tests, and they were actually about to, after a day or two, they were about to let her out. And then her vital signs started going down. And the next morning, we met with the doctor, and the doctor said, we need to do emergency cesarean section delivery. And we asked when, and they had tried, by the way, to induce my wife. She was at 35 weeks, so 5 weeks early. But they really, they had hoped that the baby would be 5 weeks old, or 5 pounds, would weigh 5 pounds and would be breathing on her own. And my wife didn't really go into labor, even though they were giving her drugs, but they did come in and they did an emergency cesarean section. And my wife was sick, but she got better because our daughter actually weighed exactly 5 pounds and was breathing on her own, and just a miraculous experience where both the mother and the child were protected. Now, sometimes one of the two dies, but the doctors need to fight to save both lives, and that's really what needs to happen. Legislators also need to work to protect every innocent human life. One of the things that happens is sometimes legislators don't have the courage to actually do what is right. But legislators need to fight to save every innocent human life. And legislators need to heed the book of James, chapter 4, verse 17, where James says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. We need to defend life or lose liberty and the pursuit of happiness. We also need to realize that we as the church have a responsibility here. You see, there's some people that say, well, that it's really bad that abortion is happening, but I'm not a part of that, and I don't do what those other people are doing. I'm not a participant in that, and I've never. And by the way, there are a lot of people. In fact, probably a lot of you listening have been involved in abortion, and you need to realize that God is a God that forgives. That God wants to forgive you. You need to repent of your sin. Confess your sin to God. Participating in abortion, whether you were a mother who was pushing for abortion, or a mother who maybe your boyfriend or husband was pushing for abortion and you went along with it, or maybe your parents were pushing for abortion and were saying you're not ready to have a child yet, or maybe you're a man who was pushing for abortion, or maybe you're a man who fathered a child who you were may have been fighting for that baby's life, but that baby was taken because you didn't have a choice, but you made a choice when you hopped into bed. And we need to confess our sins before God and repent of those sins and realize that we are responsible for our actions and repent of our sins and accept the forgiveness of God. And I also want to encourage you, if you have been involved in abortion, reach out to a pro-life pregnancy center and get involved. They have counseling sessions and they have Bible studies where you can go through an abortion recovery, because it's a big process, not just to be forgiven by God, but to learn how to forgive yourself as well. But we as Christians have a responsibility to do what God wants us to do. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, beginning of verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart consider it? And he who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? We are called to rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to death, or to deliver them, to actually physically protect them, to see that they have the protection that they needed. And if we will not be able to say on that day that God judges us, we didn't know. We know that this is happening. It's happening in our own communities. It's happening in our own state. And we need to work to protect every innocent human life, and to see that every innocent human life is recognized and protected. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.